I'm joined by Nicholas Ngo, co-founder of the MideastWire.com. Nick, you've written this blog post pointing out that the Obama rhetoric on chemical weapons is not as tough as it sounds. Just explain why.
Well, in August, which is being referenced by most of the media stories, these last sort of flurry of the 48 hours where there's been a lot of activity on this issue, the media stories reference President Obama's speech from August of this year, which was a major event, where the president came out personally and spoke very forcefully. And he said, quote, "We have communicated in no uncertain terms with every player in the region that that's a red line for us and that there would be enormous consequences." And he said specifically, if we start seeing movement on the chemical weapons front or the use of chemical weapons, that would change my calculations significantly. Now, this came at a point in time where the Obama administration was hoping that a very hard line in the sand would help to change the Assad regime's calculations. And they went for a very high post, which is to say, the Syrians know, and the Syrian allies like Hezbollah in Lebanon know, that the Americans are very good at monitoring the facilities which the Syrians have, and there are many facilities, WMD facilities, in and around Damascus and elsewhere in Syria. They're very good at watching it. The president said, we're very good at watching it. Don't even think of moving this stuff, because for us, the movement of these things, the movement of these items, creates more contingent possibilities. It creates more possibilities of the unknown. It creates more possibilities of loss, which we are saying in American interests is simply unacceptable. It creates an intelligence problem for us. It creates the potential for its use by various small actors. It presents the possibility of these weapons being moved and then being stolen by various armed groups, of course, which are proliferating in Syria. So the president really went all the way in August. What we have now is a much more moderate statement, which is really incredible when you think about the capacity of destruction of these weapons. He's basically stepped back from that hard line of saying, if you move the stuff, we're going to have a big, serious intervention is what's implied, but at the very least, it's going to be a very hard response. Okay, so now we're at the point where things have gotten so bad in Syria, and the U.S. position is so precarious. Indeed, all of the actors in the region, including Turkey and others, are so concerned by the blowback from what has been created in Syria that they are now, they actually can't publicly anymore stick to that hard line because it's already been moved. The post has already been apparently moved. And we've already reached another point, which is incredible in the American rhetoric, which is American officials are telling U.S. journalists and others that Hezbollah, the militant Lebanese Shiite organization, which the U.S. and others, including Canada and Israel, consider a terrorist group, that Hezbollah has actually set up training facilities or bases in and around these chemical weapons WMD sites. Now, if we, rewind again, even a few months ago, but certainly a year ago or 3 or 5 years ago into the Bush administration, this is the sort of thing where folks were talking about this sort of action would be a casus belli. This would be a trigger for war because American interests and other people's interests, or allies' interests like Turkey and Israel, would be so challenged. And the potential of the unknown and the potential of some of the knowns as well would be so bad that we would be forced to take action. We're at a very dangerous point here. We're at a very dangerous point here where, essentially our options are slowly but surely slipping away. The margin of maneuverability for even a very powerful actor like America is slipping away. And we are all getting boxed into a very, very dangerous and a very potentially violent countdown here, with the Americans acknowledging that the Assad regime is on the move with WMDs. And now we've essentially said that their use is what would bring the hard response. I mean, imagine that. We're talking about the most volatile region in the world. you know, with Israel, which has nuclear weapons and its own sizable WMD capabilities. We've now walked back the threat of, if you move this stuff, it's very dangerous for us and we're going to massively respond, to if you actually use it. So, I mean, what one can see here is, I think, the culmination of 20 months of a failed Obama administration policy, a failed policy in general by most of the actors towards Syria and towards the Assad regime, where now we're getting boxed into a very narrow set of options, which really only, for me, start to mark that we're in the sort of, you know, the last count of a major confrontation here. If we believe, just to finish this point, if we believe that the Assad regime is indeed, you know, as evil as many of the opposition folks say, as evil as, you know, many of the Americans say, then, you know, it's logical that this kind of an evil regime in its dying days would use these massively destructive weapons, either against its own citizens, either against the opposition, or potentially against other actors in the region like Israel, which could help spark off a regional confrontation that might help it in the end if it's going down. So we've always known this. We've always known these calculations. But unfortunately, through benign neglect and also through helping, you know, or allowing some of our allies like Saudi Arabia and Qatar to accelerate the violence, we've reached a point where there are really no more good options except for war.
How credible do you think these reports are that Syria has moved its chemical weapons?
I was debating some Syrian opposition folks at LSE last month, and, you know, what's ironic is that, you know, I'm someone that personally and let's say professionally opposed the Iraq War in 2003. It's ironic because when I warn about the WMD threat, and I think indeed that, these alarming pronouncements by American officials and others about the movement of WMDs, it smacks of a great degree of authenticity and a great degree of genuine fear that they have gotten themselves, and we've all gotten ourselves, boxed into a set of very bad options. You know, ironically, the old argument about Saddam Hussein and Iraq and WMDs being a myth is actually deployed now and has been deployed over the last few months against folks like myself who have been warning about this, that this is really, there's not a logical end game here. There's not a nice controlled collapse that you're going to be able to produce or stage manage. This, it was never going to go this way with this particular regime and with the capabilities which we, much more credibly than in Saddam Hussein's case, knew. The irony is that, you know, folks that say that, you know, these reports are not credible, or that the WMD capabilities of the Assad regime is not credible, just like the Iraq WMD fiasco. The irony is that those folks are pushing for more violence, for more war, and for an acceleration of the violence on the field, because they want to make the argument to Western journalists and to others and to diplomats and others that the Assad regime is a paper tiger, and that all we need to do is accelerate the violence, introduce a few dozen or hundred more surface-to-air missiles, and the whole paper tiger edifice will collapse nicely, like, you know, Soviet communism in 1989 and 1990. This is simply not the case. It is absurd, and it flies in the face of what we, you know, what is overwhelming evidence. So unfortunately, they've been deploying the canard of 2003 and 4 of Saddam having WMDs for a pro-war and an acceleration of violence strategy. Whereas I'm trying to say, you know, and others are trying to say, that we've boxed ourselves into a very, very dangerous position where you have an evil regime, supposedly its back extraordinarily pressed up against the wall, which has some of the worst, most explosive weapons capabilities in the world, in the most volatile region in the world. And we are going to press it farther and farther and farther. And that, I think, really has no logical endgame unless we're willing to introduce these terrible weapons in the field, and we don't know who or where, and those questions are increasingly becoming unknowns for big actors, big powerful actors like the Americans, who now are saying that it would take upward of 75,000 to 150,000 American boots on the ground to adequately secure these chemical weapons facilities and the stocks, which is simply absurd, which is absurd given... Yeah, go on, sorry.
Is he really? Is the Obama administration really boxing itself in? Because as you say, that he's retreating from the statement from August. So isn't it in a recognition that it's trying to get at least out of that?
So you're correct, and that's a smart thing. They are trying to keep their options open. When I say boxed in, though, the idea is that with the violence which the Obama administration and especially some of our allies like Saudi Arabia and Qatar have unleashed, the Pandora's box that we've opened in Syria, that has reached a point where the options for big powerful actors like the Americans are increasingly limited, whether they like it or not. So yes, I would argue certainly at a tactical level, it's a smart step back from the August statements, which never should have been made in the first place, precisely because I'm saying it was always going down this track. If we are going to support a policy of accelerating the violence and the military conflict against the Assad regime, as we have since at least 16 months or 15 months, if we're going to go down that road, I'm arguing that really this was always going to be the likely outcome of that policy. We were eventually going to get to the gates of Damascus, one way or another. The problem is that strategy doesn't have a logical endpoint. It doesn't have a logical endgame, precisely because this regime, as we know, is quite capable of doing some of the worst things in the world. And secondarily, this regime has some of the most formidable WMD and military capabilities in the world. When you put those two things together, you don't have a logical solution of pushing them farther and farther and more violently up against the wall. It will end, as we're increasingly seeing is a likely scenario, of some very big and very destructive conflagration in and around Syria. So the Obama administration is very sensibly walking back. I'm not criticizing the walk back. I'm saying that statement never should have been made in August, and that moreover, it's an indication of how the American maneuverability, the most powerful military and diplomatic actor in the world, it is being forced to cut its losses in its diplomatic and its public rhetoric, to step back, because it's increasingly concerned that it cannot and it does not control events on the ground and its options of controlling events on the ground in good outcomes that can serve American interests and other interests of our allies in the region are vanishing. And that is extremely dangerous.
But back in August, after Obama made his statement, the foreign ministry spokesman, Jihad Makdisi, said they confirmed that they had their chemical weapons, but they wouldn't use them against their people, but they would against foreigners. And now he's just reportedly defected. Is there any sort of coincidence in that? Is that just a coincidence?
No, I mean, I think this is this is a clear indication that the Assad regime is losing even the folks that, nominally some of us analysts and policymakers, I think, thought were on the reasonable side of this whole conflict. It's being winnowed down to a core of very fanatic and very dangerous actors that have military capabilities which are sizable and which can wreak great destruction across the region and in Syria. So the timing all fits in quite nicely. We have Syrian defected generals that have been warning about this. And the American folks and the American intelligence community, they know this. They know this. The problem is that at the highest level of policymaking in the Obama administration, they are not putting these sort of one and one together and crafting a reasonable approach. And part of the reason why is because it's politically so difficult to craft an alternative approach, because we so very early on got boxed into one track, and that one track was going to be put more and more pressure on Assad, allow our allies like Saudi Arabia and Qatar to introduce more and more violence, to change the military balance on the field, and eventually, hopefully, it will be a nice controlled collapse. A lot of the American intelligence community said that was not going to happen, and now this is what we're seeing.
Today, NATO is expected to approve Turkey's request for Patriot missiles on the border.
Exactly.
How's that going to play into what we've just been talking about?
I mean, that's a yet another clear indication of how serious and dangerous this is moving. The Turks apparently have been asking for this stuff for quite some time. We know that there are American boots on the ground in Jordan, special forces, including from many different nations. We just learned the other day that the Czech Republic is involved, has its chemical weapons folks deployed in Jordan. You know, this is an indication of how incredibly serious this has gotten. But the major point to draw out from this is, it was always likely that with this regime, it was going to go to this ending. The problem was is that we know that we have that analysis, but yet we keep on pushing forward towards it, hoping publicly, as many Syrian oppositions oppositionists like to tell journalists and policymakers, that, well, maybe they are a paper tiger and they'll just collapse nicely as soon as you bring down enough planes and the right assassinations. Well, we're figuring out that no, the regime just sheds some of the, you know, quote unquote more reasonable people, although I don't think Jihad Maqdisi is necessarily the most reasonable, nice guy in the world. But, you know, these are the so-called moderates within the regime. They start shedding those folks, and it gets winnowed down to a very narrow set of folks that have weapons which can easily be used, that can easily be traded, that can be proliferated, that can be used in false flag operations.
So Nick, what's the way out? There's talk today that Russia may be persuaded to try to persuade Assad to step down. Would that help, for example?
That would help enormously. The only way, I think, the only way to prevent a potentially very fast slide into a devastating conflagration in and around Syria, because remember, Syria, and we've known this, Syria will not implode, it will explode, okay? The only way to avoid that is to use Russia's supposed loosening, let's say, but to meet that with a loosening of our own demands, our own red lines in terms of the type of settlement. We need to go to a political settlement with this regime and with Assad personally. And that means stepping back from all of the stuff that has been increasingly vociferous over the last few months. That is a terrible, it's morally, it's terrible, politically, it's very hard. But when you stack that up against the alternatives, which are getting down to a very slim set of extraordinarily dangerous and unknown and violent alternatives, those three sets of pretty bad things for everyone's interests, we should take this opportunity of a Russian loosening and get behind that fully. And if that means that there are de facto borders right now, ceasefire borders in and around Syria, which effectively means a temporary partition of Syria, if that means that Assad and his core regime will stay, at least for now, in its parts that it has in Syria, fine. We need to stop the violence. There needs to be an introduction of a political solution, and someone in the Obama administration and elsewhere needs to have the political courage to do that. Obama has been reelected. He has that diplomatic or that political maneuverability now. Unfortunately, after his election, what they've done is they've allowed the acceleration of violence to continue. And now they're reaching a point where they finally have to publicly acknowledge, well, that doesn't look so good in the end game anymore, and that these guys are serious, and that these guys are bad. So what do? You get behind the Russian initiative. You decrease the level of violence in the immediate term. You offer a political process that does not have Assad going as a first step or even as a necessary step. And you hold the de facto lines on the field. And you try to gradually drain the ability and desire of this regime, and also, I would say, of some in the opposition on the other side who are doing some of the worst things in the world as well, You drain both sides' ability and desire to use violence against their own people and regionally as well. That is a morally tough solution to deal with these bad guys, politically tough for everyone, sure, but it's the smartest thing to do. Unfortunately, I'm not very convinced that we're going to go down that road. Certainly if this was Bush administration too, we'd probably be in a giant war right now with American boots on the ground. So thankfully we're not there, but this is not good enough. It's not good enough, and it's not going to get to anyone's interest, U.S. interest, Israeli interest, Syrian people's interest, Lebanese people's interest, Turkish interest at all. So that's our only solution at this point.
Okay, Nick. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.